Well, you're probably still wondering, why would these people want to do this? Why would they make all these decisions tonight to go into the water of baptism? Well, the word in the Bible for baptism is a Greek word called baptizo. Now, you might say, well, when I went to school, language class was pretty boring. What has that got to do with anything? Well, if you were to be a real geek and go and find the Greek dictionaries, you would find that this word baptizo was used in common day language. For instance, there was a lot of trade over the sea, and so as a result of that, many ships sunk in the ocean. And so when a ship sank, it was said to be baptizoed, totally immersed, totally sunk. And so then when the New Testament writers wrote to each other about baptism, they talked about this baptizo, to be totally immersed or to be totally sunk. And we will take great pleasure tonight in getting them totally immersed. We might hold Adam down a bit longer. A lot of people would like to do that. We'll get him down there and we'll bring him back up out of the water. And so as you heard tonight, there's a rich symbolism in what we're doing tonight. When the candidates come into the water and they go down underneath the water, they'll be symbolizing that they have died with Christ. Many of you know, and some of you don't know, that this is Resurrection Sunday. We believe that over this weekend, that nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on Good Friday. He actually died. He paid the price for sin that you could never pay for. He died the death for sin that you could never die. And so when the candidates go underneath the water, they're symbolizing to you and I tonight, as friends and family and members of the local church, that Jesus Christ has come into their hearts by faith, and they've died with him. And then we'll hold them down for just a second. And in that little hold, as they sort of remain at the bottom of this tank, it symbolizes that they have been buried with Christ. You see, over this Easter weekend, Jesus died on Good Friday, but on the Saturday, he was dead and buried. He was in the tomb. And so they'll symbolize, being under the water, that they've been buried with Christ through baptism. But on this day of all days, as we refer to it as Resurrection Sunday, we'll bring them up out of the water, which symbolizes that they have indeed been raised with Christ. But you say, how can all that happen for these four people tonight? What's happened to them that they want to symbolize this tonight? Many of you here tonight are married, and so you go around the world, and particularly for a man, you'll wear a wedding band, which symbolizes to the world that you are married. But there's nothing particularly significant in the ring. It symbolizes an internal reality that before God and before the state and before your friends and family, that you have created a union with God and with the person you're married to. So the ring symbolizes an internal union. And that's what baptism does with these three or four candidates tonight. They are symbolizing that Jesus Christ is now in union in their heart by faith. But you say, but hold on, what does all that mean? What does it mean to have a union with God? It means they believe the gospel. You say, John, I've heard this word gospel before. What does it mean? The gospel's good news. In fact, the original word for gospel is the word evangel. And there used to be many wars many thousands of years ago, and they didn't have the internet, they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have WhatsApp, they didn't have Snapchat, they had none of those things to communicate to one another. And so what they did was they sent evangelists. They sent messengers. And so when the Romans went out to fight against foreign armies, against the barbarians, against the Scythians, against all these outside forces, in order to tell the people back in Rome what was going on, they sent messengers who were called evangelists. Because you see, many of the women at home and the families at home were worried about the men who were out fighting in the battle, and so in order to receive news, they sent home evangelists, which was often good news for the Roman army, to let them know the battle had been won. And that's what Jesus Christ communicates to each one of us on the cross tonight. Your greatest battle, the battle with sin, has been won. Let's think about that tonight. particularly if you're not a Christian here tonight, and you walk in here tonight and you're struggling with insecurity, you're struggling with identity, you're struggling about the purpose of your life, you're struggling to get rid of difficult or dangerous habits in your life, and you're wondering, how can I find freedom? You need to respond to the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sin and rebellion. But you know, there's a story tonight I want to share with you just for a few minutes. It's about a young man who wanted to understand these things. We've got four young people tonight and young adults who are symbolizing what Jesus Christ has done in their life. But there was this young man in the Bible. And like many of you here tonight who've come to see people being baptized, you're curious about Jesus. You're curious about what it means to believe. You're curious about what it means to be a follower of his. And so we meet this man in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. It says this: "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" Oh, this young man, he was curious about Jesus. This young man had seen Jesus in the crowd. This young man had heard Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. This young man, no doubt, had heard Jesus talking about eternal life and being perfect in the kingdom of God. And so Mark tells us in his account in Mark 10 that he actually ran up to Jesus. This was a curious young man. And that might be you tonight. You've maybe just agreed to come and see these folks being baptized, and underneath your heart exterior, you're curious. Look at the language that this young man uses about Jesus. He doesn't call Jesus the Son of God. He doesn't call Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No, he calls him teacher. That would have been a common word used for many great teachers or rabbis. So this young man doesn't really know Jesus properly. This young man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do? I want this eternal life thing. I want to have treasures in heaven. I want to be in the kingdom of God." And perhaps it doesn't say it in the text, but he might even have wanted to be one of the top guys in the kingdom of God. But as you'll see later in Matthew's gospel, the disciples, the closer Jesus got to the cross, they argued about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And so this young man wants it. He's a top young man. In fact, the original language sort of lets us know that he was one of the top young men in his day. Everyone revered this guy. And so he's looking at Jesus and he goes, "I want that eternal life thing. What one extra thing will I have to do or add on to all of my good works to get eternal life?" Jesus, knowing what was in this young man's heart, look at verse 17, says, "Why? Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter eternal life, obey the commandments." This young man thought that he could earn salvation. And maybe that's what you think tonight. For your whole life, you have been trying to find salvation and significance and security and true identity and self-worth in keeping all the rules. And yet you still find yourself bankrupt. Or perhaps you come a bit like a prodigal son or daughter, and your whole life you've been trying to break all the rules and trying to find meaning and satisfaction in all the wrong places. This young man thought that he could earn eternal life. But you know what the Bible says about how you tonight can have eternal life? Romans chapter 6 says this: "The wages of sin is death, but the gift." You hear that? The gift. The gift of God is eternal life. This young man, he said, "How can I get eternal life? What one thing must I do?" But yet the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you want to be like these four candidates and to be a Christian and to symbolize your faith to others, you do it through the gift of Jesus Christ, shed blood for you on the cross. Jesus continues. This young man's curious. "Which ones?" the young man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I would have loved to have been there. Because this young man, he's the top guy. He's revered. He's run up to Jesus. He knows he just needs to add one more thing, and then he can have eternal life, and he can have a great life in this life, and then the world to come, he can have it all. And he's going, done that one, Jesus. Done that one, Jesus. Done that one, Jesus. He says, verse 20, all these I have kept. The young man said, what do I still lack? You see, you can come tonight and you can say, well, God will accept me on the last day of my life because I'm a good person. I mean, when I compare myself to the Islamic State, I'm pretty good. When I compare myself to some of the people who are on murder charges or all types of horrendous sexual charges, I'm really a good guy or a good girl. But you know, tonight, John chapter 2 says that Jesus knows what's in the heart of every man or woman. And in this passage, he knew what was in the heart of this rich young man. And Jesus gets to the core of the issue, verse 21. Jesus answered to this young man, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. You see, Jesus looked into this young man's heart. He looked like the perfect seeker. If I was a pastor and some young guy ran up to me in the street and said, hey, Johnny, you with a quiffy, funny-looking hair, what does it mean to be a Christian? Tell me. I would go, this is great. God has sent this young man so that I can tell him about how he can have eternal life. This looked like a guy who was genuinely going to be saved. But Jesus knows what's in his heart. Look what it says, verse 22, that the story changes here. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. The disciples were looking on. So this young man who's run up to Jesus, he's now walking away. He's sad. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. And they asked this question, then who then can be saved? And you come here tonight and you said, Johnny, if you knew exactly who I was, if you know where I had been, and you know where some of my actions at present might be leading me, there's no way I could be saved. I have to go away from this service tonight like this rich young man who got so close to Jesus tonight, but there's no way I can be saved. And the disciples asked the same thing. They said, well then, Jesus, who can be saved? Then Jesus said to his disciples, he looked at them, verse 26, and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Isn't that good news tonight? That you can come here tonight with a sin issue in your life and it seems absolutely impossible that you could ever break free. But the greatest news in this earth on this Easter Sunday day, on this Resurrection Sunday, is that no matter how difficult or dead a situation is in your life, Jesus, like he stood over the grave of Lazarus, a man that he had loved with his two sisters whom he loved, and he looked at them in the eyes and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he's dead, yet shall he live. And a few moments later, he would say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb alive. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter then asked, the spokesman of the 12, Peter asked, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, that the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, including the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone
who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life.
This young man wanted Jesus, but he wanted his possessions. He thought that he could have his possessions and he could have Jesus, but what he actually didn't realize is that the possessions actually possessed him. And as I come to you tonight, as you look at these folks being baptized, as they symbolize that they have left everything else behind because they want to follow Jesus, oh, I would plead with you tonight. Paul the Apostle says, I implore you tonight, be reconciled to God. So let's just pray as the team come to lead us in a song, as we think about where we are before God, as we're thinking about eternal life. Let's come to him in prayer. Maybe even now, for the first time, you want to seek him, because the Bible says, if you seek him, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart. Father, we think of this rich young man this evening, a young man which was so close and yet so far. Father, we think about the many things that we love. And if we're honest, Father, we often love them more than we love you. And Father, you know there are a number of folks here tonight and they're like this rich young man. They're curious. They've come close to you even in this service this evening, and perhaps even right now they're counting the cost. What would it mean to follow you? How could they change, perhaps thinking they don't have the power to change? But we praise you. What is impossible with man is possible with you. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.